This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
It doesn't mention John as often as I like.
You don't think we get equal billing?
I don't know. Somewhere along the way, I think you're winning on that one. You put it together, obviously.
Actually, that was Sean Del Marks that put that together from Gin Chocolate and Bottle Rockets.
Good stuff.
Yeah. She's great.
All right. John and Gordy in the morning, as you have already probably heard.
We're going to be on in the afternoon, too, today only. 4 to 6. That's today, right. And today only. A double shot at John and Gordon. The morning shot here, and then we'll be on the network. Sam, what are you eating? It's very distracting, whatever you're into.
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
We've got a candy jar on the front desk in the station here. And I had to go down and unlock the door for Mike McCabe when he comes in later.
Okay.
And so I grabbed a Reese's peanut butter cup on the way back up.
Wow.
Well, thanks for sharing with the rest of us.
It's his responsibility, to clean out the old Halloween treats that we had up here. We're still trying to get rid of them.
Yeah.
Now I want to get to that cut from Tim Miller. He's talking about DEI and what the anti-DEI Republicans are claiming. They want meritocracy now.
Meritocracy.
That's right. Meritocracy, a cabinet filled with a parade of unqualified loyalists.
Oh, that's okay. What meritocracy is.
Well, that's what it is this time around.
Okay.
And but the Dems somehow are held at a much different standard. So let's get to cut 250, if you can. Cut 250.
All right.
Thought you wanted 150 right before.
There you go.
Okay. Thanks, Jacqueline.
You guys just got a special delivery of your very own Reese's peanut butter cups.
Well, the human resources officer here just brought in the Reese's peanut butter cups to, make it fair for everybody. All the employees
should be having
access to the Reese's peanut butter cups, not just the producers. I think she's going to put out a memo here in just a few minutes.
But it's his job to, eat through all of the candy that we have on the countertop out here.
All right. Sorry. Right? I didn't mean to get off track there. All right. Tim Miller, right?
Tim Miller.
Let's get back to this.
On meritocracy. It's cut 150. I'm sorry. Not 250.
Meritocracy.
All right. Here we go.
And you and I both, there are DEI pamphlets that I think are absurd and DEI policies I think are absurd. That said, there's this whole conversation around how we should be going back to a pure meritocracy. And that is what we need in society. And DEI is preventing that. And we're getting these black people and gay people and women into jobs that they did not deserve. And they're lady pilots now. And that's putting us at risk. And we just need to go back to the meritocracy. And the people that are making this argument want Dr. Oz to be in charge of Medicare and Medicaid. I mean, it's preposterous on its face. Their argument is ridiculous. It is the least meritocratic cabinet in the history of the Republic that will be confirmed next year. It will be a bunch of clowns and grifters. And so how are we supposed to take their why is it only the incumbent on the Democrats to always be the ones that are responsible and have to be consistent in the argumentation?
Yeah, well, that's a very deep and troubling question there. I mean, this asymmetry between the two sides politically with respect to so many things. I mean, in particular, with respect to what is required to maintain your reputation and good standing, right? So you can just, the New York Times makes a single factual error and it's the topic of grave embarrassment and people will unsubscribe and they'll get castigated by everyone right of center as fake news. But obviously, there's just no pretense of journalistic integrity at all as you go sufficiently right of center, whether it's Fox News or Breitbart or OWN or Epoch Times or any of these other outlets. Right. So it's asymmetric warfare in a dozen different dimensions. And yes, you know, you have in Trump's cabinet now, it's effectively it's affirmative action for kooks and grifters. Right. It's just.
And have any of the people that supposedly care about the meritocracy or that are anti-woke, have you heard a single one of them criticize this cabinet?
It's hypocrisy as a concept doesn't quite cover it because these people have no standards to which they're even pretending to hold themselves, right? They're just, they're holding the other side to its standards. Mm-hmm. And it's just pure nihilism and cynicism on their own side, right? I mean, so literally, these are people for whom Alex Jones is still in good standing, mm-hmm. right?
It's always been like this too, and I've said it for a long, long time on previous shows that I've hosted, but especially the one with Vicki McKenna, is that the right-wing radio and the media that has cropped up around it, you know, the podcast, mm-hmm. it's a different economy. It's a separate economy from the normal economy that we all live in. They create their own jobs, their own echo chamber. Right. They're constantly expanding on the echo chamber, and they're creating jobs with that. I mean, Charlie Kirk is a perfect example. There's an absolute nobody that has turned into a billionaire just from, you know, pushing the right-wing agenda. Yep. That's it.
Yeah.
And he's employs a lot of people. He has a huge following. He's making a lot of money. And it's because they have their own economy, their own jobs system.
Yeah. Looks like you're in the wrong business.
Well, look at Tucker Carlson, too.
Yeah.
He's a wealthy guy to begin with, but got on Fox News for many years. And now he's on his own and he's doing just fine. And yeah, he's part of that whole Fox ecosystem. And something like what, 6 billionaires on the cabinet choices?
It's the wealthiest cabinet in history. 6 billionaires.
That's amazing.
That's ridiculous.
It's crazy.
Well, you know, one of those billionaires is going to feel the wrath of California, though. I love this story. Gavin Newsom, the governor out there,
right?
In California, just dropped the bombshell, excluding Tesla from all California EV tax credits. How do you like it? He can do that. Musk anti-American antics don't sit well with Newsom, so he's using the power of the governorship to boost competitors by giving them the tax credits, but excluding Tesla and Tesla buyers from getting an energy tax credit in California.
How has Elon responded to this?
Well, I don't know. Who cares?
Yeah.
He's part of the administration now.
He is.
He's getting government contracts. He's doing well, you know.
Yeah.
Governor Newsom said if the Trump administration revokes the $7,500 credit for EV vehicles, then California will offer the same credit as a replacement for cars purchased in their state, except for Tesla. Now, this goes back to the Inflation Reduction Act. What they want to do with that, what Trump wants to do with that, and the administration around him wants to do with that, is get rid of any kind of green energy credits. And I just want to remind everybody out there that these energy credits are for us. It reduces our costs.
Right.
So if we buy something like, you know, solar panels or an EV vehicle, we get a break. Mm. We save money. But the megas, and they can get away with this, they can increase the costs of our purchase.
Wow.
Yeah, they complain about inflation, but they're taking away the credits that would save us money. Mm-hmm. All right? Mm-hmm. I just want people to understand that.
Well, the billionaires are in charge now. They can do whatever they want to do, right?
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. Newsom said that the tax credit will not apply to purchases of Tesla. Tesla's rise to dominance was built on the backbone of California's $3.2 billion investment in clean energy subsidies. Now Musk wants to bite the hand that fed him by relocating and undermining policies that promote fair competition in the EV market. And Newsom's, of course, sending a very clear message. If you want California's benefits, respect California standards.
Well, good
and
for
him. And that's one of the things that's great. It's going out the window. I think that's one of the great moves.
Why would you want to buy a Tesla anyway? Like, the only thing that they have going for them is like DC fast charging and autopilot, where the car kind of drives itself. That's the only thing that they have going for them as electric cars go.
That's really pretty good.
You want a self-driving car?
No. Well, no, I don't care about the self-driving part of it, but, you know, Tesla has the market on the fast chargers.
Yeah.
Sure.
They're going up all across the country, so he's already in on that marketplace. He's also working on different batteries for his vehicles, but I understand other people are investing in the battery market, and they've created vehicle charging that would just, you know, just take the market by storm. I mean, very quick charges and increasing the distance that a person can go on these new batteries. So while we complain that the distances are good enough for EV vehicles, they will be getting better because we're just working on it. I mean, this is the next generation of green vehicles that are going to go out there.
They're, they're as good as a combustion car. You get like, what, maybe four, depending upon how big your gas tank is, maybe 400 some miles per tank.
Well, yeah.
That's what my car gets. You could get an EV that goes 400 miles on a charge.
Yeah. And it's getting better and better.
It is.
Right.
It's getting a lot better. So I think, you know, one of these days, John is going to have an EV vehicle. I'm hoping anyway, as soon as I get that garage built with the charging stations in it. Blah, blah, blah.
What are you doing in the garage? Huh? Next spring?
Oh, yeah, hopefully. Yeah. Okay. And the reason I'm doing this is because I have an investment that I haven't really checked on in like 40 years. But,
years?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
I did nothing with it. I put, I put $1,500 in. I did nothing with it. And now it's about, you know.
Turns out John is a multimillionaire.
You're doing all right. Well, good for you.
Well,
that's good.
I might be able to pay for a garage. But here's the thing, you know. I'm thinking that Trump is going to tank the market. And I talked to this guy who is holding this money in my investment. And he says, you know, maybe it'd be a good thing if you dumped out of it.
Okay.
He said, I normally don't give this advice, but if things go south, I would take the money out fairly soon.
Better listen
after
to
the
him.
Election.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
all right.
That's why I'm looking at a garage at this point.
Okay. Hey, phone lines are open, 608-879-8255. That's 879-TALK. You can call us or text us there or on the Civic Media app. And this portion of the John and Gordy Show is brought to you by Verlo Mattress of Madison. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress, or go online, verlo.com.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
WMDX, John and Gordy in the morning.
Playing a little bit of weather report here because we have Brittany Merlot standing by, our Civic Media meteorologist, dressed in her Star Trek uniform today.
Well, it's an outfit that I normally would expect Kirk and Spock to be meeting people on a different planet. You're wearing the outfit that, you know, some leader on another planet would be wearing at this point.
What?
I love that. Which planet am I leading?
I don't know.
Say Jupiter.
You know, say Jupiter. What the heck, right?
I'm having a meeting here with you, Madison, humans.
There you go. That's perfect. If people could just watch the image, it's just fantastic.
Goodness.
Yes.
All right.
Okay, well, big travel day today. Everybody's hitting the roads, trying to get to grandma's house early, right? So
what's a song?
Over the river and through the woods. To grandmother's house we go. And blah, 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 bl whatever.
What's Do they still the teach that in grandma school? Got ran over by reindeer.
Oh, that. Yeah, yeah. We got to trot that one out.
That was the more violent one. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. You could tell I'm Italian. Yeah. Oh, goodness.
Oh. Very good.
Me too.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, yes. So right. Not too bad today, honestly. Mm-hmm. The only bad spots are going to be if you're headed up north towards Lake Superior, or if you're headed down south into central Illinois, northern Indiana, and over into Ohio. We are looking at rain over down south, mm-hmm. and it's going to flip to snow overnight. So that's going to cause some problems out on the roads or flying, because that big system does head off to the East Coast, which could cause delays tomorrow if you're leaving mm-hmm. by flight. Otherwise, honestly, if you're driving around the state of Wisconsin, you're good to go. It's beautiful.
All
mostly
right.
Clear down south, a few more clouds up north, and obviously up until you hit Lake Superior, then you're going to hit some snow.
Okay. Well, I'm going to say it now. I know I won't be able to say it later, but we've been incredibly lucky with our weather forecasts. You know, for the last, I think, 5 or 6 months, it's just been heaven, you know, while other people have had hurricanes and really bad weather, we've had just fantastic weather up here.
We have, honestly. But this cold blast this weekend, I think, is going to be a reality slap for some of us. Okay. Highs are only going to climb to the low 20s. Plus, you're going to put breezy winds on top of it. Those are going to start by tomorrow. And it's going to be feeling like the single digits to teens across the state. So pretty cold this weekend, but sunny.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good.
All right. Well, it doesn't sound too bad as people travel back from wherever they're going on Saturday, Sunday. They'll be okay, just cold.
Yes. Yeah. Yep, absolutely. Yeah, all right. No problems there, so good holiday.
All right, get back to the people of your planet. And
well, wait a minute. Are we going to do interplanetary weather?
I guess we
want to pick a planet, or is it too late?
Well, she's on a planet. She can just go look out the window and...
Well, you see, the thing is my planet controls your planet's weather. So
I'll say, well,
I just
there
told you.
Wow,
all you needed to know.
That's it. That's
okay. All right. That's all right.
We'll do... Oh, gosh.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Brittany.
Very good, Brittany. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving.
You too.
All right. Okay. Take care. It's Brittany Merlot, our Civic Media meteorologist.
Okay. Great outfit.
Right, if you're watching on
We used
Facebook.
To recommend that people watch X in their car and then listen to the audio through their Bluetooth radio in the car. Yeah. But
I'm not recommending that anymore?
I don't like X anymore at all. I hate X.
Are you going over to the other side? What is it?
Blue ski.
Yeah.
Blue sky.
That one.
Blue ski. Yeah. But everybody has to go to blue sky now.
We got a text in here from Bob from Oconomowoc, or Oconomowoc, your choice. Love my Chevy Equinox EV, great car. Love my Tesla stock so far. Hate Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Okay.
Elon is not doing a lot of good things, is he? You know, I just hate Elon Musk at this point. I just can't stand him.
Well, get used to it, because he's going to be part of the White House there, it sounds like.
Yeah, but I have to get used to Blue Sky now. And I'm so used to X and promoting it and saying, I'm sticking with it, but everybody's running from that place. I mean, it is awful what he has done to it. I read recently where he is not allowing posts that have direct links to other websites on it.
Really?
Because he doesn't want people to leave X.
Sure.
And he's allowing links to other sites in responses, in replies to a post, which doesn't make any sense. One way or another, the link is going to get there. It's just, now I've had it. You know, that's it. I'm done with it. I'm moving more quickly into Blue Ski.
Okay.
John, I think the only way you're going to give it up is if you're dragged away kicking and screaming.
I know. Well, okay. I use the feature bookmarks in order to, you know, maintain all the stories that I'm interested in and then go back to them, and then I comb through them, and that, you know, turns out to be material on this program.
And they have that on X, but they don't have that on Blue Sky yet.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I thought this was kind of interesting. Elon has this AI called Grok, right? And Grok is not cooperating with Elon at all. Grok is, you know, AI that is foul-mouthed and has a mind of its own pretty much anyway.
Okay.
A user points out that Elon Musk's anti-woke Grok AI seems to actually support, and he asked, Grok supports Kamala Harris's agenda. Yeah, the question was, who would make for a better overall president for the United States? And the chatbot Musk has long positioned as the anti-woke alternative to AI, OpenAI's ChatGPT, had an equally simple answer. It's Kamala Harris. Grok listed a number of reasons as to why, ranging from abortion and women's rights to inclusivity and the risk of the disastrous economic policies President-elect Donald Trump had threatened the country with. The exact kind of argument the extreme right, including Musk, has derided as woke, a derogatory catch-all for the progressive ideals. So Grok is on our side now.
Way to go, Grok. Yeah. So,
maybe Grok like will Grok. Just take over X.
Oh, Rock. Great name.
Yeah.
Makes no sense at all. Okay.
Well, you know, the thing that is kind of interesting, you know, with the whole thing of Lance attempt to take over as the next president of the United States.
His rise to power.
Yeah. Is that, you know, he is going to cut so many programs, and he's promising to cut all these programs. And right now, what you were hearing on the right and from Trump is that there is going to be a tremendous amount of pain, but the pain the pain will be worth it, because in the end, things will turn out much better for all of us.
Are we going to get some Tylenol at least?
I hope so.
We're going to need it.
I hope so.
Yes. It is 7:29, right around the corner. Mike McCabe will join us on John and Gordy in the Morning.
Walking home from our house Christmas Eve, you can say there's no such thing as Santa, but as for me and Grandpa, we believe.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
It's John and Gordy in the Morning.
And I want to look them straight in the eye, and I want to tell them what a cheap, lying, no-good, rotten, four-flushing, low-life, snake-licking, dirt-eating, inbred, overstuffed, ignorant, blood-sucking, dip-legged, spotty-lip, worm-headed sack of monkey sh**. He is! Where's the Tylenol?
This portion of the John and Gordy Show is brought to you by Verlo Mattress of Madison. Sleep better and dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress available on Madison's east and west sides or online at verlo.com.
That was me after our little Christmas celebration this last weekend with my brothers who voted for Trump. Okay. I'm trying to get over that. I can't.
You got a little wound up there.
I know. From Substack, we have Mike McCabe in the studio again, and let's talk about some of the posts that you've recently put on, and I love the one that you have out of Roxbury. You went to the Dorf House.
Oh, what a great place.
Yeah.
Well, you got to love a good supper club. There are a few things better than that.
Really, it's a fantastic place to go,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, I had an old Peace Corps friend coming through town to visit.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
You know, we get together every once in a while, and we went to the Dorf House,
yeah,
outside of Roxbury, and that's got to be one of the top 10 in Wisconsin.
It has to be. I mean, it's so gorgeous on the inside.
Yeah.
Food's not bad either. It hasn't changed at all, probably for 50 years.
Oh,
right?
Longer. Doesn't it look like something out of the 1950s or 1940s?
It does, yes. Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Now, do they have the dining room in the back? Is
they
that
do.
Where you
the
were?
The big ballroom. Yeah.
They have the big ballroom, and they weren't actually filling that when we were there.
Yeah.
But it's you know, we walked back there and just took a peek, and
the way they have it decorated, all the statues and everything. I mean, it's just amazing.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, I work with the census, and I went out there to interview somebody in Roxbury. But I went in to the Dorf House during the day. And the management was out there behind the bar, and I thought, well, this is that moment. I need to talk to them about something I want them to bring back, and that is their German smorgasbord that they had every first Monday of the month. I mean, you go in there and you get the best German food ever.
Yeah.
All you can eat.
Yeah.
It is just fantastic. You know, in the ballroom, they have a fantastic big bar there with German beers on tap.
Yeah.
And they have a stage. And on that stage, my father-in-law passed away, but he had a polka band. And they performed on that stage, Buttons and Banjos, I think they were called.
Wait, he didn't pass away on the stage.
No, he didn't pass away on the stage. All right. Is that what you thought?
Yeah, well, that's...
Did I say that?
You kind of... Yeah, never
some,
mind.
Some, perform, some, you know, some performances work, some others don't.
He gave it his all. His final performance.
He did. But anyway, it was great. You know, the kids got introduced to German food, and I don't know why. It obviously went away because of COVID. They had to close, you know, everything down, but they haven't brought it back. I don't know. I think it's because of COVID or the worry that there might be another pandemic.
Maybe. But I believe the brother and sister own it now. The original owners passed away, you know, quite a long time ago. But yeah, the brother and sister, the kids of the owners. Yeah.
And I actually talked to the owner, and he just said, well, we're just, thanks for asking, but we might someday in the future.
Oh, bring back the German smorgasbord.
The German smorgasbord, yeah. But it was just fantastic. Such great food.
Oh, it was delightful. I probably packed on a few pounds just in that one evening. But it's radio. Nobody can tell.
There you go. Exactly.
That's true. That's why we don't dress up for the show, right, Gordon?
Never.
All right.
It's relaxed.
Well, let's get to a little bit of masculinity. You had a post on masculinity. Toxic masculinity?
I didn't even go there in my article. It's just how I think manhood has been cheapened by, you know, whether it's Joe Rogan or so many others who are part of what people call the manosphere.
Yeah.
And it's kind of this this fake machismo. It's the, you know, it if you'd berate people, if you demean people, if you grow a beard, if you, you know, if you watch you know, ring fighting, that makes you a man. And every time I bump into this sort of modern definition of manhood, I can't help but think about my dad, who was a dairy farmer, and he had an eighth grade education, and he fought in World War II, fought in the Battle of the Bulge and the Battle for Remagen Bridge, and landed at Normandy as part of the D-Day invasion.
Wow.
And you know, and when he came home, he said he was never going to pick up another gun, and he never did.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, if there was a commotion out in one of the back sheds or somewhere, he, in the middle of the night, he'd grab a baseball bat and he'd march out there into the darkness to restore order.
Wow.
And you know, to me, you know, manhood is, if there are indeed characteristics that are rightly associated with masculinity, you know, people think about strength or toughness. Well, toughness has to do with being able to deal with adversity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It means being able to deal with things when they go south, and when you're throwing curveballs, you just deal with it.
Yeah.
And to me, my dad was kind of the definition of that. He grew up in the Depression, and his family lost their farm, you know, because of the Depression. And then he goes off to World War II, and he comes back and he makes a life for him and his family. And that's what manhood is about, is dealing with that adversity. And it just seems like now, you know, the slightest bit of adversity and people turn on each other and start, you know, and start berating and demeaning others. And they try to step on people or bully people who they think are below them to make themselves seem tough.
Yeah.
Right.
That's really a twisted notion of masculinity. And to me, as I wrote in the article, you know, it's about when things go wrong, you take responsibility. You look in the mirror. Mm-hmm. But then you also turn around and see who's behind you and make sure that they're, that the door's open for them too.
Absolutely.
That's what masculinity ought to be about. And I think the whole concept's been cheapened. So if that cheapened version of manhood amounts to toxic masculinity, if that's what that phrase refers to, well then, you know, I think what I tried to write about is what I think is at the root of it.
Right.
And that's basically weakness. It's people who are scared. If people weren't so scared, they wouldn't feel the need to arm themselves to the teeth.
Well, they denigrate women in order to bring their masculinity as well.
Whether it's an immigrant one moment or a woman the next moment, or it's always about sort of kicking people while they're down or keeping people down so that they can feel like they're better than everybody else. And that, to me, is not what it means to be strong or tough. You know, strength is what happens when things are really fouled up.
When the chips are down.
And who takes responsibility? Who's willing to look in the mirror and say, this one's on me.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna take this one, and I'm also gonna make sure that everybody else is okay.
Yeah.
And you know, and yeah, I think about my dad every time, who refused. You know, I grew up in hunting country. You know, I grew up on the farm, and everybody went deer hunting, except my dad. So I never learned the tradition. You know, my brother became a huge hunter, lifetime NRA member, but you know, he had to learn it from a neighbor. He had to learn the way of the woods from a neighbor, because my dad wouldn't have anything to do with it. But he had a good reason. He had had enough of what guns did. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the only thing he ever told me, I once made the big mistake. Me and my brother asked him if he had ever killed anybody in the war.
Yeah. Mm.
And he just looked at us with this really pained expression on his face. And I immediately regretted the question being asked. And he just said, you know, it was kill or be killed. And he knew what it was to be hunted. And he didn't want anything to do with hunting, because he knew what it was to be hunted. But that guy, with an eighth grade education, worked his tail off and built a business. And we never went hungry. We always had clothes on our back and a roof over our heads. And to me, that's toughness. What he went through in his life, that produced toughness.
That is a stunning revelation there. He knew what it was like to be hunted.
Right.
I mean, that is, that'll change you.
It changes you. And you know, that's, you know, we talked before about generational change, you know, on the show, and the whole discussion about the fourth turning. Well, when people haven't gone through a depression like my folks did, or a world war like my folks did, we kind of stop thinking about it as that traumatic, because we haven't personally experienced it, but they did. They experienced that trauma, but it was, you know, they talk about steel sharpening steel. Well, they got tested in a really harsh and brutal way, but they became tough as a result. My dad was a tough old coot, I'll tell you that. You know, and he wasn't one to hug or say I love you or anything like that, because he felt like he needed to toughen us. So, not a parenting strategy that I necessarily embrace myself, but you know, I respect where he came from and the toughness that produced in him.
Talking with Mike McCabe here. Now, you had a similar experience to me. Your father was in the war. I think, John, we're all about the same age.
Absolutely. My father was there too.
And Marine. When you talk to your dad, like I tried to talk to my dad about World War II and what he was doing, where he was, and he was in Panama, and he didn't want to really open up much about it. They didn't see a lot of action down there, but he still did not really want to talk about it. And there's something about that generation. They didn't really open up, like, my dad never really opened up about it.
Right.
And
neither did my dad.
And I think about my relationship with my son, where I'm a little bit more open about talking about just about anything. But what is it about that generation that, you know, they went through hell?
Yeah, they did.
You know, and they just did not, they put it in the rearview mirror and move on with life.
Yeah, you know, you can only imagine what they went through.
Right.
And, you know, and my dad was in the 634th Tank Destroyer Battalion, and it was on front lines of some of the bloodiest battles in the war. But he wouldn't tell any battle stories. Mm-hmm. The stories he told about the war were, in between battles when they would meet people in a village and you know, swap cigarettes for eggs and stuff like that, and they would use their broken German and they would have these funny stories to tell about these encounters they would have with the locals. That's what he would talk about, but he wouldn't tell anything about battle stories, and he literally just buried it and went on with his life. And probably not the most mentally healthy thing to do, but you know, that's the way they handled it. But I can't question his toughness or his strength. And it wasn't the fake kind of flexing that you see, you know, that becomes part of this male culture that everybody talks about. It was just a quiet determination, just got up every morning. That guy, because he was a dairy farmer, went 35 years at one point without a day off. He worked 7 days a week every day for 35 years, and he missed a day to travel 200 miles to see my sister get married. He made me stay home and miss my sister's wedding so that I would milk the cows. Mm. Otherwise, he had worked every single day for 35 years. He would just get up in the morning, head out to the barn at five in the morning, whistling, and go about his day's work. And the work day was done at eight at night when you finally got out of the barn after milking cows in the evening. So you work from 5 in the morning till 8 at night every day.
Yeah.
And I never heard him complain about that life.
Yeah.
Right.
Sounds like my radio career.
Please.
Well, you know, we're going through the adversities of life now, you know, with the price of eggs and
it's pretty tough.
It's a real trauma.
You do kind of think, what would the Depression era generation, the World War II generation, make
tell
of that
us today? Yeah.
When people are thinking that, oh, we've got it so tough and things are coming apart at the seams, what would people who went through hell think about that?
Yeah.
And it's impossible to know. My parents passed away quite some time ago, but I don't know.
I know. I have so many questions now that they're gone,
right?
And when they're there, I don't have all those questions.
You know,
now,
all of what I know about what his unit went through was found on the internet.
Yeah.
He wouldn't tell me, but you can look it up. You can look up what the 634th Tank Destroyer Battalion did.
We'll have more with Mike McCabe in just a few moments here on the John and Gordy in the Morning Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
WMDX. This is where the action is.
John and Gordy in the morning, along with Mike McCabe, and we were talking about masculinity.
Yeah.
Yeah, you wanted to
a little bit of that.
Mention something else.
Because we know that men, younger men, Gen Zers, broke toward Trump, and I was wondering, you know, why? Why did this happen? And I think it has a lot to do with the appeal to masculinity. They've been talking about it a long time on the right. The MAGAs are, you know, obviously very, very toxic masculinity-wise with their podcasts, with the talk show hosts that they have. I think they're always emphasizing that. You know, we have a lot of the men that are nominees for department heads who have had problems with toxic masculinity, and I think there's something that appeals to men, young men, with that in mind. And, you know, we have picked Linda McMahon, World Wrestling Federation, or WWE, being out in the ring, getting, you know, slapped around by her son and daughter.
Yeah, you know? Seen videos of that, yeah.
And it's maybe for some reason, I don't know why, it would appeal to some men.
Well,
any answers on that?
Yeah,
isn't that world the epitome of just the flexing and the posing that is passed off as masculinity?
Yeah.
It's that world in particular that always makes me think of my dad. Mm-hmm. You know, it brings me back to that tough old dairy farmer who worked 35 years without mm-hmm. a day off and went through World War II and lived and grew up in the Depression. That's toughness. And what you see on television is just flexing and posing. It's pretend.
Yes.
And yet it's being you. It's a marketing ploy, is what it is, to appeal to young men. And God, we gotta think more seriously about what manhood actually should be all about.
It's amazing to see it go in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
I thought we made so much progress. Men have, you know, being a part of the household, taking care of the kids, doing a lot of the cooking, the domestication of men, finally, right? We were going in that direction. All of a sudden, it's taken an ugly turn.
It has.
Yeah.
It has.
John, if I had to sum it up, I would say that a lot of Gen Z men who have turned that way, fallen mm-hmm. down the manosphere rabbit hole.
There you go.
Yeah.
Are convinced that they are the victims of a problem that doesn't exist. And that is that wokeness, like feminism, all of that stuff is taking opportunity away from them.
Mm-hmm.
And the Andrew Tates of the world, the Joe Rogans, all of that are in a way going back, but also putting a new spin on it and telling people that you're not the problem. Here's a lifestyle for you.
Mm.
And this is your solution to everything that you think is a problem.
Right. Mm.
Well, you know, even if the problems are real, when you face difficulty, I guess what I would say is, hey, man up. And don't just whine about it, or don't just get filled with resentment and bitterness. Make yourself a better man,
right?
And do something constructive, and don't fall into the trap of the bully, where you simply try to knock people down to build yourself up. Just build yourself up.
Right.
You know, so here you got people on the right for years have been saying, hey, pull yourself up by the bootstraps. But
right.
But instead they're encouraging a culture of victimization and saying, oh, poor men, they've been so mistreated. And and so, yeah, it's like, where are the voices saying, hey, man up and make yourself something better.
Yeah, it seems like
that's what my dad always told me.
For me, when I was, I guess, going through this in the 60s and 70s, I realized that there was a dimension that I was missing. That women had that I didn't have,
mm-hmm.
and that's what I worked on. I thought, I've got to adopt some of this because this really makes a lot of sense. And that's where I was at. And I'm thinking today, why don't we do that? Why aren't men doing that? As Sam had mentioned, they feel threatened. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why, because there's some focus on women's organizations and women's place in the marketplace and women's healthcare rights.
I think a strong man should not be threatened by a woman being right at their side.
Right.
And, a strong man doesn't need the woman to be behind him. A strong man can have the woman out in front or right by his side.
Absolutely.
And mm-hmm. that's garbage to think that somehow having women have rights is somehow taking something away from men.
Well, I hope that message comes back.
Exactly.
Because I think it's disappearing at this point, especially with the Trump administration.
Yep. Yeah.
Hey, we're just about out of time, Mike, but we want to mention you're going to be in Milwaukee at a book signing and a speaking engagement next week, December 4th. Is that Wednesday?
Wednesday the 4th.
At Boswell Books in Milwaukee at 6:30.
Yeah,
right?
So anybody over in Milwaukee for Christmas shopping or anything,
there you go.
If they happen to be over there on Wednesday the 4th, I'd love to see people.
Well, keep up to date with Mike on Substack if you can.
We appreciate you being with us, Mike.
Good to see you
next Wednesday.
Yep.
Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving.
Yep.
All right, that's going to do it for us for right now. But don't forget, tune in at 4 o'clock. We'll be in for Dom Salvia, 4 to 6 p.m. this afternoon, right?
Yes, we've got another 2 hours.
Okay, very good. Have a great Thanksgiving. Talk to you soon.
John Gordy Show.
John Gordy in the morning.
As we were saying. John Gordy Show.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.